Greetings. Most of you should already know my name. It's always a funny thing because mostly people remember my name and I never remember anybody else's. It's happened my whole life. Tomorrow marks the first week I've been here at camp. It's the first time I've been at camp my entire life. And it's been a blessing to know the people here, especially the elderly ones. And of note, I still can't pronounce the last name, so...
Sister Martha,
and like I said, I don't remember anybody's names, but the Wall Vogels and the really hard E name that I still can't pronounce, and I'm Spanish and I should know that. But it has been a blessing. It's been lots of laughs around the table with please say it one last time, I promised last time. It starts with an E. Please say it out loud.
Echeverria.
Echeverria?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. With the Echeverrias and with the Wall Vogels. It's impressive having 60 years, 67 years, almost 70 years at this camp. And the advice is priceless and meant to be appreciated. Your testimony is very special. And it reminds me very much of my mom's testimony, who got saved at 14 from the Catholic faith. And it wasn't exactly like yours, but it was very similar. My mom started looking through the Bible and was wondering why the Catholic faith contradicted what was plainly written in God's Word. So she went to the priest, and he didn't have the answers, but one person did. And there was another 14-year-old girl in my mom's high school. And she gave my mom the gospel. My mom, trying to be clever and smart, said, "No, show it from my Catholic Bible what the truth is," because she wanted to know if something the Lord put on her heart to ask about if the end times were real, because when she was unsaved, she was watching this one movie called The Omen, and that sparked her interest in wondering about if the Antichrist existed and so on. And so that one 14-year-old girl who had witnessed to my mom led my mom to the Lord after showing her that there is going to be an end of the ages, and that is what Jesus, many things that Jesus came to save us from. And that was John's mother, actually, and his mom and my mom have been friends ever since. Also, I'm speaking mainly sort of on behalf of those here unofficially, those that are going to college. And I would also like to speak to them and say that the information, the wisdom, and the knowledge given by the people around here is for you, is precious, and it is biblically accurate. If you look through the Bible, you will find all throughout Proverbs how it says to listen to the wisdom of those who have gone before you, and especially of your parents. And it's also very interesting how my mom has the same... has come to the same conclusions as the standards of this camp, that, and the same things that you were talking about, is that women should reserve themselves and keep themselves modest in order not to cause a brother in the Lord to stumble, and how the world is driven by the lust of the eyes, especially in today's day and age. And it's very interesting because in the times that you grew up, and most of the people here, all there were catalogs and television and radio. Today you can find that and 100 times more on one of these, and a lot worse. And it's hard to keep yourself pure in a time, and my mom says that, agrees completely with what you said, of keeping all your firsts for your first, keeping all the firsts that you have set towards the one that God has for you, because God does have a plan, like you said. And I don't think that your ideas are old-fashioned in any way. I believe that they are biblically accurate, and that our nation is suffering greatly because of a lack of those standards, which it once publicly held to. These teenagers, some are not teenagers, some are young adults and teenagers, are, as Mr. Jose said, who doesn't appear to be here anymore, but if he was here, his advice was some of the best advice, that we must follow hard after God, especially heading to college, because college is public school on steroids and a little worse. You're not taught to worship God in public school. You are not taught to serve God in public school. You are not taught to be godly in public school. And the list goes on and on. Which is why keeping yourself holy and set apart is some of the most vital information. It's written here on this podium. It's written up there. Written on the staff guidebooks, and I believe that it's a word that is very often used, but not so often understood. Holiness means to be set apart. God is holy because he's set apart from all that he's created, and the fact that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and that he is not sinful. If we are to be holy, we also must likewise set ourselves apart from that. And we can't give in to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And it always reminds me, like what Paul says in Romans, I believe, where he says that, or was Galatians? I was reading through one of those for college, actually, and it was interesting. He says that the flesh and the spirit war against each other. And it is a very big struggle to try and surrender, and I won't say that I'm perfect. I have as many struggles as anyone else here. Paul also wrote that there's no temptation that has overtaken you that is not uncommon to man, because with the temptation he provides the way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. So although you are headed to an ungodly place, take to heart what these people have said here. Enjoy the time that God has given us, because I remember when I was younger than 10 and I so wanted to be a teenager so I could grow up and I could do more than I could, and people would tell me, you'll get there soon enough. I've now started to understand what they meant, and it almost feels like life is going too fast already. And I'm sure you can agree that 90 years does now really feel like a vapor in the wind. And the grass, well, with every year I pass, I feel that more and more. And I don't think it'll be too much longer before I reach that. My grandmother is a great-grandmother, and she's only 62. And I pray that my parents would be able to live as long as those present. And I pray that the people here would be able to take to heart the wisdom that has been given, and that we would be able to remember this time and to take it to heart and to understand that we are living in a wicked and perverse generation with which we do need to be holy unto the Lord. And I just once again would like to thank those that are here, and I thought that the people that I saw here were going to be constantly on staff, and that, you know, one year was going to be like the next. But once I realized that, the happy meter diminished, because I've met some wonderful people, and if I came back next year, I would want everybody that was here to be the same people, because it's wonderful people. And so I wish to give a nice farewell address. That's mainly what this was, because I don't know how early the people are leaving. And that I wish to also thank the congregation for their prayers and for being examples to us so that we could follow suit. And thank you.